Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is The Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto and my co-host, Bahamian general surgeon and surgical oncologist Dr. Wesley Francis. We're pleased to have again in the studio as our guest, the well-known community leader, well-established businessman, and entrepreneur, Mr. Peter Roker. Good evening, Mr. Roker.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. I didn't meet Dr. Francis before. I have the privilege of doing so.
It's my pleasure.
And we're going to...
My good buddy, Dr. Pinto. Yeah. So I'm in good company this afternoon.
Well, we're also going to question you, where is the fountain of youth in
don't go there again. You know, but seriously, I'm happy to be around and, you know, certainly try to do my best to stay around.
Well, you're the picture of good health.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Physically, and on paper, as I say, as your physician, I think you are an inspiration to the nation that longevity is possible and good quality life is also something that is attainable by all of us.
Well,
and I think
you.
we're going to get into that because you somehow have cheated aging. I don't know how you did it, but no one would believe you. You're almost 84. I think in a month you're going to be 84, essentially. And even Dr. Wesley Francis said you couldn't be more than 70.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, you know, what should I say? It's hard for me to take those compliments because basically I know about, you know, I know I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but I understand what you might inherit. I guess you guys understand that a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
So I would say offhand that I've been very fortunate in what I inherited. I give thanks to my my family. My father passed when he was 93, my mother was 97. They were all relatively in good health then.
Okay.
But I think, you know, as a person in the street, I stand to be corrected, right? But I feel so bad about the good habits the Bahamians had that they basically have let go to hell. And I'm not only talking about the medical problems, but I'm talking about our accent, a Bahamian dialogue, Bahamian accent. But I go back to health because, you see, essentially, we as a people could do a lot better in preserving our health. And when I hear people...
And may I just stop? We need to do a lot more in preserving our heritage and our culture.
By all means. I mean, by all means. You know, whatever we came from a cultural perspective, we need to understand and appreciate that. Because, see, there's one little common denominator. We didn't create you, me. We have created our own culture in a sense, but we didn't create the culture we met here.
Correct.
So it's something we met, and we have an obligation to preserve that. Now, when you start talking about grocery store prices and stuff, I smile. Because the biggest thing that we could do as a people to lower prices is by not going in there for everything we need. when we look at the ability to feed ourselves, even from a minimal scale of, say, backyard farming and that sort of stuff, we're not only looking at the lowering the cost of food, but we're also lowering the cost of these dear doctors in my presence that, you know, are agreeing with me. So we got them on our side. And so I just think that we can really look now as a people as to how we really go, how do we go. And I implore you guys, the guys with those degrees that long and that long, to really, really, I know you're doing your best, right? But look at where we are. Look at where we were. And so I leave it up to you guys, okay?
Well, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I always was starting the tradition of starting this show with inspirational life quotes. There's a quote that I learned many, many years ago, and I think it paved the way for my mindset. It's a quote from former U.S. President, Mr. Theodore Roosevelt. And I basically learned it word by word. To start, it's not a critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or how the doer of deeds could have done it differently. The credit belongs to the one who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred with sweat and dust and blood, who strives valiantly, who comes up short again and again and again, who in the end may know the triumph of high achievement, and who, when he fails, he does so daring greatly. So if you're going to be brave, you're always going to fall. But it's not about how many times you fall, it's about how many times you get up. You are here as a very successful businessman. Right now, obviously, with the Iran-US-Israel war, we have a hike in gas prices. I'm looking at the gas tracker for April 8th this morning. Rubis is $6.64 a gallon. Esso is $6.58 a gallon. And Shell is $5.70 a gallon. So that's not boding well for the common man or any Bahamian. The gas prices were already astronomically high. What do you see an end in sight as a owner of a gas station, or do you think things are going to continue to get worse for your fellow Bahamians at the pump?
Well, okay. You guys would know as much about that as I would know, because running a gas station is what I do, but I cannot run the prices or run the supply line or whatever, right? But having said that, I go back to what I said about the food. We have a lot of control of the food. We have absolutely no control over gasoline. And when the gasoline is at its cheapest price, we should be doing as much as we can to be conservative about those prices. In other words, you know, gasoline is a privilege. I told someone the other day, they called me from the Tribune, and said that it may not be only the cost of gas, it could be the ability to get gasoline. And as a result of that, we shouldn't panic. We shouldn't get paranoid. But we ought to understand how can we as individuals mitigate these circumstances to the best, to the highest level. Now I see the big cars, I see the cars screening on the road. And really, you know, I'll be quite honest with you, talking about Mr. Roosevelt, what he said about critics, right? 30 years ago, I could see a German guy with a tire gauge, wealthy German guy, checking his tires. Because a car will be more fuel efficient with the right air in your tires, right? And so we got to stop in our tracks. And whether we're wealthy, whether we're medium wealthy, whether we're poor, which a lot of us are, let us understand what we're dealing with. It's not about hype. It's not about being conditioned to believe you're a Bahamian, so you're entitled to this, entitled to that. Let us understand what we're dealing with. Poverty is no joke.
Yep.
If anybody tells you that poverty is good, they're lying to you.
Well, if we're in crunch time now, I mean, maybe it's a time where we act by carpooling, where that'll help the environment,
yeah.
That'll help the traffic congestion on the roads, that'll help our pockets.
I own a gas station, I agree.
Walk as much as we can. That'll help us in terms of our body habitus, our general health as a nation. But it can be overwhelming to know that, unfortunately, we don't have the best public transport system, particularly once it reaches dark. It's not the safest one as well. And basically, to function in New Providence, at least, maybe not so much in all the Family Islands, we need to have access to a car. If we have access to a car, we're going to have to put gas in that car. So maybe we need to roll down our windows and stop running the AC as much as we can.
Anything possible.
Everything is possible.
Anything you're able to do.
But the problem is, and we've spoken about this many times, so many Bahamians are living on such a thin margin where they don't have any reserves. They don't have any savings. They don't have anything for a rainy day. So if anything happens, any increase in cost of any everyday essentials, and gas is one of them, for the vast majority of us in the Bahamas, at least in New Providence and in Grand Bahama, it can be economically devastating.
But you know, listen, let's get into politics, just briefly, right? Or for the whole show, no matter what I mean. Where I stand is, if you're going to go out there and represent a group of people, you have to offer something to those people and not be a politician, but to be someone that creates a legacy. And when I say that, right? When I say that, this afternoon, I was responding to something on Facebook that my daughter had sent. Two monstrous pictures of things of a political party advertising. You have the three political parties, and they can't wait to spend as much money as they can on advertising. On, this is my picture, this is me, this is a $2,000-$3,000 billboard. I'm asking you to vote for me. And to my mind, you know, if you see ignorance, you shouldn't cater to it. You should be able to say, listen, for God's sakes, let us get to a level of understanding the reality of our country. Let us understand how dirty our country is. Let us understand all the stealing in our country. Let us understand the need for a bus service in our country. And let us bring out the issues in this country that will either put us into abject poverty or bring us up as a people. That I can be saying the little I know about Singapore. Little I know about Singapore, never been there before, little I know about Singapore, to say that here's a backwater country, mosquitoes and sharks and abject poverty that have come now to something that people talk about. So it is not a joke, because, you know, I feel as an individual guilty. I have taken my time during most of my lifetime to stand up for the principles I feel could help the Bahamian people. I thought about going to politics, but I had children I had to take care of, and it wasn't possible. It wasn't possible, right? But we're now in a political season that we have to stop in our tracks, agree or disagree with what we see. That is an obligation that each of us, as a man or woman, and each of us that live in this country, have to make a definition now. What are we faced with? We're faced with the roads, we're faced with the garbage, we're faced with the destruction of our culture, the statues, the beautiful buildings. We're faced with a gambling issue. We're faced with the illegal. My name is Peter Roker. And I take full responsibility in calling the gambling cartels in this country illegal. I'm not looking for you to agree. I'm looking for you to agree. But that is what how I see it. And the same way I saw the drugs coming in this country and could live on an island where I was in total control of, without immigration, without customs, to say, no, no, this is not manna from heaven. This is the greatest destruction that could ever be put on people when you see them in insane asylums, walking like zombies and whatever else. So, to me, it's nothing funny about a situation that can lead, whether it is the removal of our culture, removal of a building, the deprivation of a brain. When I drive and see all these children on the road, I see people who can contribute toward this country. And if we're not doing that, and if those children are not getting the opportunity, then we're not doing our job. So when you go out there to be MP, Mr. MP or Mrs. MP, then make some definitions. Make some definitions. And we as Bahamians, we as people living in this country, surgeons, other people, then let us make a definition.
Well, we certainly have a behemoth society with many vices, many addictions. You mentioned drugs, alcohol, food. Those are all addictions that are defining our country, our culture, and our future. And unfortunately, gambling is part of that as well. And in my personal opinion, that many of the gambling houses are getting rich not on the backbone of the poor, those who cannot afford, who are being sold a dream, but who cannot afford to gamble. And it's unfortunate. It's not something that anyone likes to speak about, but it's destroying families.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, we've kind of normalized that behavior, right? That's become part of the culture.
And it's not unique to the Bahamas as well. I mean, even in sports now, previously you couldn't speak anything about betting, but if you watch any NBA game, they're talking about the odds and
yeah, it's
and
normalized
everything.
Now.
It's normalized,
I mean, everybody,
yes.
Everybody, they're able to, I mean, it's totally legal.
You can go on an app on your phone and gamble.
I think the populace did not want it to be, but then the powers that be at the time determined that, make it legal. And so it's, to what extent, Mr. Roker, do you think that because we're in election season now, that these issues become the forefront of what we hold to the feet of the politicians? Like, do they answer to these issues? I mean, this is the one time of the year when it's an election year that really and truly we need to hold their feet to the fire to say, listen, these are the issues that are concerns of the populace. How are you going to address them? Do you feel like the election is more about, colors or less about issues, about us being a part of one tribe versus the other tribe? Or are they really bringing out the issues and concerns of the Bahamian populace?
I see a tremendous avoidance of bringing out the real issues. And I think it's really not good for the country. I think that politicians should create the environment for issues, and face them. Not that it's their fault. It's not going to be their fault. But let us face what's in our face. And let us not ignore something that can help to not only destroy us, but destroy others. And so I think this would be the time now to not to have crazy debates or whatever else, but here are the issues on the table. And to deal with those issues, if you feel that people don't care about the issues, that's not your business. In other words, it isn't our business to change the world. It's our business to try and change the world. So, I don't take anyone for granted.
Right.
Do not take the man sweeping the ground. Mr. Carroll, who swept Bay Street, was saving every penny to send his grandchild to college, Colonel Smith. Colonel was very proud. He passed a few years ago, but he was very proud to say that. Mr. Carroll wore a tie and a suit. You guys are too young to know about Mr. Carroll. But he swept Bay Street. But he was saving his money to educate his child. So Bahamians, we as Bahamians, me, Peter Roker, need to have a purpose. Need to know and have a definition of what we believe our environment and our people, our friends, to be like. We have a very deep cultural, the name Francis, and back of Market Street Purity Bakery is a Francis stronghold. I don't know whether that's a part of you. I remember Francis, Mr. Francis, the publisher of The Guardian. And so we have Dr. Pinto here. I said Pinto, but that was Pinto's name. Where did that come from? But the Lansing Street, not the Meeting Street.
Davis,
whatever. Yes. I haven't forgotten that.
Yes.
And so we have these notable pilots and engineers and surveyors, and we are a good people. But you know what amazes me?
Can you just hold that thought? We have a call waiting for a while. Good evening. This is Urologist Bleaks. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Man, you all, look, I understand what's going on. You get caught up in what be going on with. And then you all get caught up in the talk show. And you forget you got the people hanging on these lines waiting to talk.
Well, I was just giving reverence to our elder statesmen in the room. But yes, Sparky, go ahead.
You are the host, right?
Yes, sir.
And then you got this guest in there. And this guest will spend his time running his bucket mouth until...
I guess he got censored.
Yeah, I think he was censored by the producer.
Okay.
Yeah, please go ahead, Mr. Roker.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no problem. I didn't hear exactly what the person said, but, you know, one thing I will die for in my country is freedom of speech and having an opinion.
Yeah.
I will fight my life for those persons who oppose me to have that, and that's where I stand on that matter. However, I was beginning to say that what really is my problem, makes me very lonely, is where I can think a certain way and feel so strong about something and help so many other people think totally different.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to accept that.
One thing you're trying to bring to light, and I know behind the scenes you're doing a lot in the community as a community leader, but you are recently involved in providing a lot of support for organizations that try to promote child safety, looking at child abuse, sexual abuse, violence against women. Can you speak a little bit about that and your involvement in those endeavors?
Well, definitely. I can speak of that, right? I can say to you that I've always had a mind toward, you know, how other people are doing. You know, and I'm not any one of those big-time people out there who can do give away this and give away that, right? But I've always been conscious of that, right? But just recently, I was approached by someone, and a female. And for a number of years, they were living with a burden of having been molested as a child. And talking to that individual, they had then, I think some years ago, devoted their life now to trying to help those other persons who would have been a victim of molestation by an adult, right? And as a child, right? So it brought to my mind what we're dealing with in this country, and probably any other country for that matter. Like, I can't single the Bahamas out. But the social conscience of a country has to be where we are aware of the suffering of persons. We can't throw money at that, but we have to create the environment where this is obliterated from our society because the suffering is too great.
And then, I mean, look at the justice system. 7 years for rape. There's no justice in that.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
And when you talk about, we'll mention it, about talk about a sexual assault or abuse, it's the rape of young children, even within families. And the courts are very lenient. It shows that there's little value in our children. Our children are our future. And that's a shame. The amount of violence that even a 3-year-old or 4-year-old suffers at the hands of his caregiver in this country is astonishing. It says, where is God in our country when you see children being beaten black and blue even at the age of 18 months, 2 years?
It's difficult to eat your supper and think about that. It's difficult to think as a human being. And I think that, you know, when you look at the Eastern laws in different parts of the world, I believe there comes a time when you really have to look at what the penalty is for destroying someone. Because you destroy someone. You have someone commit suicide. You have someone living. I know about this. You have somebody live in absolute terror all their lives. People that go into drugs, people that go into anemia, what they call it now, when you don't eat, whatever. So this is a scar that you cannot allow people to bear and have dinner and have life as usual. The last thing in the world I could do is to tell other people what to do. But I can tell you one thing, to have a social conscience, to have a conscience that you can not hurt someone is very important. And, you know, I feel that the law should, you destroy someone, you need to get your hip destroyed. And that's really what it amounts to. That's my feeling on that.
I mean, as a country, particularly in the last several decades, we as a nation, as a society, as individuals are living under terror in form of crime and in terms of abuse, sexual abuse.
I got 4 German Shepherds in my yard. I can tell you about that too.
Yeah. So when we talk about culture, our Bahamian culture is going to the beach, enjoying our beautiful pink sands and our crystal clear waters, but we're afraid to go out to the beach because we're getting held up of all hours in the day. We're afraid to partake in our cultural heritage of junk canoe, particularly as a female, because you know when you're walking down Bay Street in the crowds that far too many women have been assaulted because young Bahamian men have no respect for women, and it's eroding our society, and there seems to be no end in sight. It has nothing to do with politics or who your member of parliament is. It has to do with the breakdown within the family, within the community. It's children having children. It's children raising themselves. Children living with little or no guidance, or the worst of guidance. I remember we had Pastor Dave Burrows on, and he spoke of a young man who wanted to get out of a gang. And his father, who was senior in the gang, basically told him, you can't. You got to pick up that gun, and you got to be a man. So when you're raised from a child with that mentality, What hope do you have for a future?
Well, you know, to my mind, we grew up we are in an environment, and we know that environment. It's hard to appreciate someone who's been grown up in a totally different environment. Totally different. Now, I grew up totally different than you guys probably. I would have done things that you guys would be horrified about, I think. You know, but at the end of the day, you've got to understand that discipline and everything in life, in my opinion, happens in little small increments, where you win or you lose. Now, you drive down Bay Street today, and you'll see a scene of a woman that leaves no imagination. And don't forget, remember, I'm not a critic of women, it's how they look and whatever else, okay? I think they're whatever, right? But you're looking at someone who you have no imagination left to say what does it look like, the whole body. Because for all intents and purposes, she is naked. I remember the time when a police constable dressed in this nice uniform would go up to a lady and say, I'm sorry, ma'am, you're not allowed to come on the street dressed like that. And, you know, they say, oh, my bad, I'm sorry. So we need to turn these lemons into sweet peaches. We need to have Bahamians out by the cruise ships selling wraparounds. Oh, ma'am, listen, you can't walk on Bay Street like that, you know. Buy a wraparound for $9.95. And we need for people who come to this country and say, oh, that's different. This is, it's like when you guys would, you know, I don't know what happens now. But I know years ago, you couldn't go in a church without putting in, you'd get a napkin and put on top of your head a lady. Remember that? No, you guys remember that?
Okay. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that, we need a standard. And the people who come to our shores would appreciate that standard. So when you look at a young guy on the street, I know I played hooky in my life about twice. Scared as the day was long, and the second time I played hooky, I got home, I got the worst cut skin from my mother who would call the school to find out something, or they called the school to call her. A fear of doing wrong. And you can't go and tell a woman about on her dress in public and a police pass by and they don't see anything.
I mean, we'd have to think about and speak about the positives as well. We have one of the most blessed nations in the world. We have a democratic society where you have freedom to of religion. We have freedom of just free speech, as we're exemplifying that right now. We have some of the most beautiful waters in the world, some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, arguably the best climate in the world. We have peaceful elections. We have a stable government and a stable economy that is on par dollar for dollar with the U.S. dollar. Not many nations on the earth can say that. But we speak so negatively about our country, and we look at the opportunity. We are so close to the United States that we have many benefits because of that. Tourism is one of them as well. But the world is our oyster because you're born in this country. You have no limits put upon you. You can attain education anywhere in the world. You can get free education going all the way to University of the Bahamas. But we have to look at our mentality. For we've spoken it many times. Many young men don't see education as a road to a better life, for a brighter tomorrow and a better future for themselves and their family. If they can see that their cousin or their older brother works as a waiter at Atlantis and he's making $6,000, $8,000 a month, why do they want any more than that? Why do their homework? Why go to school every day? If they have that background that, you know what, I can be a waiter and that's going to give me a lease, maybe even two cars. You can have the flashy this, you can have the trips to this and that and everything else. But they don't see the brighter, the bigger picture where, you know what, you don't have to work for anybody. You can make your own money. As you say, instead of sitting at the table begging for scraps or trying to get fish from somebody else, become a fisherman. Be an entrepreneur. Be a business person where you are employing 20 people instead of working for someone where anything can happen, where your future is in their hands, where anything can happen and their business can go belly up in 20 years that you've dedicated them. You're starting all over with somebody else. But if you have those skills within you, if you have that background of education, you can always stand, even if you fail in a business, you can always pick up and you know that you can succeed in your second venture, your third venture, the fourth venture. Very few people have successful businesses, not just in this country or anywhere in the world or in history, succeeded on the first try. They yeah. failed many, 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 many times.
And that's what resilience is about, right? I mean, once you would have tried, and again, if you didn't succeed, you try again. And that's you know, the recovery aspect of failure. You know, I always tell people, failure is probably one of the best teachers out there, right? You don't learn a whole lot from success, right? But certainly when you fail at something, it causes you to become introspective and then you realize, where'd you go wrong? How can we remedy this? And then, you know, you correct. At least, hopefully, you try to correct. And so you shouldn't be really afraid of failure. It's, you know, you recognize that it's a part of life. And it helps you to propel yourself forward and to prepare yourself better. And you move forward.
As Michael Jordan was cut from his varsity basketball team because they didn't see any talent in him. Walt Disney was fired for being an animator because they said he had no talent. Colonel Sanders, who has the KFC franchise, failed innumerable times before he became successful and even until he was in his 60s. So there are many stories like that. But here, a lot of persons, young persons, they just take the easy road. They don't push themselves to attain greatness, and they just want to go for the status quo. If they should have dreamed bigger than wanting to just be a waiter for life. Although there's no, an honest day's work for honest day's pay is an honorable thing, but look for something better. And if you are a waiter, then look for better for your children than having to work for tips and being on your feet all day and everything else. Try to make fish for yourself. Exactly is what I'm trying to say. And you've done that, Mr. Roker. You came from humble beginnings. You weren't blessed with all the opportunities in the world, but you made the best of the circumstances, and a lot of it came because of your fortitude and your dedication and your insight and everything else and your people skills.
Now, I'm going to be controversial with you guys, okay? I'm not going to, well, first of all, when you talk about the Bahamas, I totally agree how beautiful the Bahamas is. I totally agree how much value we have as Bahamians, okay? But it's like, if you gave me something today of value, I have an obligation to take care of it. And that's where we've fallen down with. But let's go move on to what you're saying, right? I am on record of saying a number of times that the ability as an entrepreneur to go through these channels and tunnels and everything else in life in the Bahamas is almost impossible.
I can remember coming back
to
open up a business account. It was a living hell.
Forget about the business account. Forget about the business account. I've been through this foolishness. I have seen people who've been through this foolishness. And it's foolishness. And so some of the foolishness we see happening in our society today, and a lot of the people falling through the crack, is as a result of that foolishness. And I have beat it like a sheep, like a goat. For God's sakes, when will this country understand that the empowerment of the Irish Bahamian or the Bahamian has got to be the single most important thing in this country? And when will they initiate a one-stop shop for entrepreneurs? We don't have it. We don't have it.
I mean, the system seems to exist to break your spirit.
Well, it's just to destroy you.
You know, systems come about as a result, usually in a response to something, right? And I agree. I'm not disagreeing that it's hard to do business. It's hard to get an account and all of that. But I think those things are put in place to try to prevent fraud, to prevent people from taking advantage of others. And that's why we have rules and systems put in place. Sometimes we go too far with them, right?
But
and sometimes
there's
no
that.
Common sense to that.
How many hundreds of businesses here don't have a business license and there are no repercussions for that?
Well, this is the key thing about enforcement, right? If you set a rule in place, you have to try to enforce it. But the rule came about, obviously, in a response to something that perhaps was nefarious, that wasn't right, right? Because, you know, people tend, you know, in business and people in general tend to make decisions that benefit themselves, right? Not usually the greater good. And I believe systems are an attempt to create a greater good such that everybody follow the same rules. But again, when you have people in charge of those rules to enforce them or to, then it creates bureaucracy. So while I agree that, you know, it's hard to do it, rules are put in place for a reason. And I think we ought to try to understand why they're in place. And when they become more arduous than they need to be, perhaps remove them. So it's more important to monitor things as you go along and to review, to change, because life and times change. And now, yeah, we're in an electronic age now, so it should be easier to get. We should probably use more electronic, to be able to, you know, to make things easier for people, not make it harder. And I think it's just monitoring and reviewing stuff. But I agree, it's too hard sometimes. But you got to understand the system is in place for a reason.
Well, I mean, if you had, after your residency training, if you had stayed in Detroit and opened up a practice, or after your fellowship in Canada, it would have been a lot easier.
It would have been
even
easier.
As a foreigner. Yeah, but it would have been easier than you coming home to start up a practice.
But I still had to follow a set of rules and regulations.
Correct, but right? It's a lot straighter road. Well, with less bureaucracy.
The rules and regulations that came about had to be changed as time changes. And I think maybe that's what's happening. You put a rule in place. Like, for example, you know, I was looking at business license now. You have, and a lot of people may not like this, right? But I think in 2023, the government changed. I think if you're making 250 and above, you have to have a reviewer. If you're making above 5 million, you need an auditor. Before you can get your business license. Now, why do you think that came about? Probably because people were cheating the government, right? And so that may, in and of itself, become difficult for a lot of people because now you got to get two accountants. I'm sure the accountants love it, but why did it come about? Because people probably were not being honest and declaring how much they were making, right? And remember, taxes are supposed to be, again, I mean, nobody likes taxes, right? But it's a collection such that the government, that's what funds the government and is supposed to be going to the greater good, roads, healthcare. And this is a healthcare show. And I mean, obviously healthcare is not cheap. But again, all of these things were put in place for a reason. Even though it's difficult, they're put in place for a reason. And they put in place because a lot of people try to cheat the system.
Agree.
Yeah?
No, but I wouldn't want a misunderstanding what I was saying, right? I'm not saying, you know, I believe in rules and regulations.
Yes.
And I'll tell you a little story of God knows how many years ago, Billy Lowe was at a licensing thing under the UEP. Now, Trevor Kelly owned City Pharmacy on Bay Street, and there was a total monopoly, and Billy Lowe was trying to open up a small pharmacy. Billy Lowe had gone, I'm not sure if he went away or whatever, but he studied to be a pharmacist, and he wanted to start his own pharmacy. And the powers that were then, but you're not going to get a pharmacy.
Right.
And he told them straight and plain, I'm going to start a pharmacy, you can lock me up. And so what I'm referring to is instances where persons who want to go in business in the right way are prevented from going into business. And the system deteriorates to a point now where the idea of letting a Bahamian fail, my mm-hmm. position really that I take, if a Bahamian goes in business, let them fail on their own. Don't make them fail.
Agreed.
Make them fail.
Right.
And these successive governments, whether UEP, PLP, or whomever, F&M, have had that totally dead fish mentality, if I can use that, I don't like that person.
Right.
And they don't understand the spirit of an entrepreneur. And we've lost too many people in the crack because of that. Now, I was sitting next to a room, I could hear what was going on. Here's a Bahamian with a business ready to open up. All the inventory, leases signed, money spent, everything in the Christ world. And he is begging with the chairman of the licensing authority, private meeting. Mr. Chairman, I won't mention the name. Mr. Chairman, please understand, if I don't get in business for this Christmas, I will lose everything I have. And the chairman saying, you don't understand what I tell you? You ain't gonna get no license now. And this is a mentality that should not exist. So make no mistake about it. What I'm talking about, I'll tell you something. When VAT started, it started at 7.5%. Mm-hmm. Took me 2 weeks. I had 19 shifts in my businesses. I had about 8 different businesses, 19 shifts. Took me 2 weeks before I went and told my people, take out 7.5% out of every shift, and put it in a separate account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we had VAT at 7.5%, I didn't pay 7.5%. I took my cost of sales off. I was putting 3% more than was required.
Mm-hmm.
And when it went to 10%, take 10%. I remember my BPL, my BEC bill.
Well, it went to 12, then came down to 10.
Well, yeah, but my person walking the yard, lights off at my service station because my wife forgot to pay it for 4 or 5 days, not months now, 4 or 5 days. And if I didn't have a generator that weekend, I would have been in deep trouble. But,
yeah.
What I put to both of you, right, is the fact that a normal entrepreneur with no bad intentions has very little chance of getting in business. And I tell you that because I'm talking to young people 2 years later who cannot get into business. And this country should be of Bahamians who are in business. Because that is, like you said, you can't make a... Or who in the devil gonna make a living out of minimum wage? Mm-hmm. Who? No. So I am saying that more, in other words, now is the time maybe. Maybe not, it's not the time. But for God's sakes, I'm not saying I'm right. But let's have these meetings of minds. Let us collude with our governments and say, listen, let's bring all the problems to the table. Yeah, you say you have a problem. No, that's not really a problem. Here's the solution. Let's do it. Let's make this country rip, rock and roll. You said what we have, what God gave us, the beautiful beaches, the beautiful atmosphere, the intelligent Bahamians, okay? And let us put them together now. And what we need to come up with is where the majority of the Bahamians can do well. That's what we need to come up with. We don't need a bunch of poor people and a couple of rich people at the top. We don't need that. We do not need that in our society.
Well, as you can see, over the decades, we're losing the middle class.
We lost them.
Yeah.
The middle class Bahamian is becoming a scarcity. And even those who are middle class can't afford a home, living month to month. Never having any savings. It's a crying shame. They can't afford to buy a property. All of the premium properties on most of the family islands are now owned by foreigners, particularly beachfront. We're selling away our heritage, and we're leaving nothing for our children. We don't have a legacy. We also have to look at the mentality of Bahamians. Obviously, you can't generalize, but if somebody comes just with the shirt on their back, can barely speak the language, from the south, comes here, as I'll say it nicely, undocumented, for the most part, those people will be successful within a few weeks because of their work ethic, because of their ingenuity. You go across almost every construction site in this country, who are the hardest working persons? It's not a Bahamian. And I'm not generalizing, but I think any major contractor will admit that it's not the Bahamian who's the more reliable. It's not the Bahamian who has the best skill set or who's the more motivated or the more honest worker that they have. And that where does that come? Is it has something to do with the mentality of or the generation of young men and women that we're raising as a country?
You want me to answer that one?
Yes.
I think we ought to. It's a free market economy. Mm-hmm. I believe what Mr. Roker was saying. In free market economies, you have to allow entrepreneurs to bring about ideas. I mean, the best idea always win, right? And then sometimes we put rules in place to protect and create monopolies. And I think you want to not do that, right? I remember a long time ago, remember when it was 99 cents breakfast, right? Before that, this 99 cents breakfast. I thought it was a genius idea, right? So one guy puts a shack up. He says, 99 cents breakfast, man, he got a line, right? But then how's life? Someone sees, okay, well, this person is successful. But it's 99 cents breakfast. So maybe I can do the same thing, right? But instead of, you know, putting it down the road, they put it right opposite it, right? So to directly compete with him. And so what did it? They divide then the market. So how then do you maintain your market? Now you got to, you know, differentiate yourself. Maybe the seasoning in your, the sauce that's on your grits or whatever has to be better than the other guy, rather than, well, somebody creating a rule that forces you to go to the other guy or something like that. And I think that's what you want. You want competitive, you know, people to compete. And, you know, who wins when businesses compete? It's the consumer.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
I think that's what we want to try to create. We don't want to maintain monopolies. I understand the story with Lowe and... But I think a lot of rules are sometimes in place to try to maintain monopolies, right? Rather than to allow free market to and allow people to choose.
And I mean, if you treat your customers with courtesy and respect and kindness.
They will come back.
And you have a tidy, clean environment.
But if you have a monopoly that's maintained by bureaucracy, you can do whatever. You can treat people because you know what? You feel like your market is preserved. And there are no, the market forces that favor you is the bureaucracy.
I mean,
and I think that's what happens.
And it doesn't take much to be a success in this country. Yeah. You can have buy one cutlass, go and be an excellent gardener, and then you go from cleaning 1 yard to cleaning 20 yards to cleaning 40 yards to hiring 10 people to hiring 20 people to becoming a landscaping business. You can do extremely well.
And that,
you can
that do takes extremely hard well. Work. And that it takes hard work, right?
Toiling in the sun, sweat, everything else, sacrifice, everything else. And you're not, many Bahamian men think they're too good to be that, but these are glowing successes. I know some landscapers are doing extremely well. And are
landscapers. I mean, yeah, they are. You know, in my neighborhood, these guys come around on a Sunday morning to wash your car.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will keep my car clean. Mm. The guy comes, $50 to wash your car. I mean, and they come and they're very efficient. They clean your car good, nice. You're happy to give them that.
Yes.
Right? And so, and as things evolve, and even those, the guy who washed the car now, like one time ago, I used to give him the money. I'd get the cash. Now I just wired to his account, right? So these are the things that are, and as simple as just coming around, washing my car. And that's a big business. If you look at the number of homes there. Each home probably has about 2 cars, right? Within that neighborhood. I don't know how you get in the neighborhood, but he's there. It doesn't matter. But the point is, a thriving business just developed that way because he services a need. Mm-hmm. I need my car washed.
And if he does it at the highest quality, if he has respect for his customers and reliability and honesty, then that goes a whole lot. If you find $5 behind the seat and you give it, That word spreads that you're an honest person
and you do it. If I like how you do it, he charged me $50. I may give him $60 because that's a tip.
And then you'll tell other people about his business.
Hey, this brother, he do a good job with the car. Yeah. And then you know, next thing you know, he got the whole neighborhood. And so then he's now able to then hire a couple other people so that he can, and this is how expand, and that is how funds trickle down, right? and people get, and everybody gets their car washed.
Yes,
and the people who wash the cars, they have this is a thriving business.
I mean, there's so many avenues where you can find your niche, whether it's in the arts or whether it's in physical labor or if you're a drywaller, you be the best drywaller there is, and you will thrive. If you're the painter, be a meticulous quality painter, and your name will be. And everybody's mouth that wants to build a high-quality home. And you will do very well to the point you are overbooked and you just don't have enough time in the day to do the number of jobs that are given to you.
But, gentlemen, do you want to know what the good news is? Mm-hmm. Bahamians, there are many, many Bahamians out there that still have the mentality.
Definitely.
I have 2 or 3 Bahamians right now, one coming up on Saturday, who wants to sit down and talk to me. Okay, call me. I didn't call him, he called me. And what I'm saying to you, the good news, when I was growing up, you gotta understand something. Dr. Quackenbush and a few of the doctors were the only doctors in this country, this island. Now we have so many qualified doctors and surgeons and specialists of every type. And so if we have that, we must understand that we could have had almost all of these businesses country today being operated by Bahamians. And I tell you that, you know why? The thing is this, you guys might have said, okay, fine, you got good grades, you ran away. You ran away to become a doctor in your time. We have UWI now, okay? So the point I'm getting at, I have not lost hope. And I'm on, don't forget it, but you guys are not where I am, you know. You know, you realize that, right?
Yes.
You know that?
Yes.
You're not where I am. Understand that? I am where I can see these things. And I see them. And that is the good news. The good news, we have a multitude of young Bahamian men, middle-aged Bahamian men and women that may not understand what they need.
Yeah.
But these politicians we have, the ones that we have, the ones we will have, they need to understand that the empowerment of a Bahamian people is the single most important thing to get through in this country, because it is a country.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is when some, it's all about reputation. And once you lose your reputation, you'll never, if you did something dishonest or if you overcharged somebody, life is a marathon, it's not a sprint.
But doctor,
so always be honest with those who are your customers.
Listen, how, you know, when I see 15-year-old, 16-year-old doing the shuffle in Bank Lane, that is someone who didn't have to be there. So you really got to look at the root problem. You got to look at the refusal.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if we have the time for it, but I'll tell you a little story. What I went through was by almost by accident of going and getting a job at 13 and a half years old, of having the determination to say, not to say I wanted to be this, I wanted to be that, but by having that fortitude. But that is not, that's one in a million maybe. But we have people who are talented, and we have to understand this is a precious element. This is something that we have to nurture. We have to give, you know, give something to give them hope and understand they're not on their own and bewildered and whatever else. But the problem I see, and I go back to my statement, for those that say, yes, I want to go into business, we need a one-stop shop in this country. No freebies. I am not talking about freebies.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about freebies. I am talking about a Bahamian saying, I want to go into business, and he can go to one entity in this country, and say, okay, buddy, bop, 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 you are in business. I don't care if you're F&M, I don't care if you're PLP, I don't care if you're COI, I don't care if you're anything. You, as a Bahamian, have an indelible right to go. Now, if you fail, you failed. Okay?
Yes.
But it has to happen because it's causing lack of same.
Yeah.
It's causing too much destruction.
And it's demotivating a lot of persons from even trying, as you said.
I tell you, yeah. I know that.
And they feel like the system is stacked against them. They failed before they even started.
They don't try. They put the tail between. You go, an average Bahamian, you tell him no, he put his tail between his legs, and he walk away. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't put my tail between my legs. I put a doggone placard on my front and my back, and I go on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you straight and plain, I ain't got rid of you. I've gone to government offices 7 o'clock in the morning. I have had people look at my face and tell me, no, you can't have that. I say, well, I got to approve. No, you can't have that. And the average person says, thank you very much, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem.
I think we've had a fascinating talk about our country and the potential of our country. Any closing remarks, Dr. Wesley Francis?
No, I just... We just got to be resilient and respectful and honor our culture.
And Mr. Peter Roker, this is not the last time we're going to ask you to be back again and again, but any closing remarks for the show today?
Now is the appropriate time in this country. Someone said to me, there's no elected officials in the country. There's only a group of people that can do something if something happens. They're not elected.
Yes.
Okay, this is a free-fall situation we're in right now. And I advise people to say, listen, there's no political party, there's no whatever. This is now, has to be an effort now to do something in this country to make sure that those persons who are catching hell, those persons who are deprived, which is a huge part of our population, is given some hope.
Well, let me end by saying a wise person once said, hate has four letters, but so does love. Enemies has seven letters, but so does friends. Lying has five letters, but so does truth. Cry has three letters, but so does joy. Negativity has 10 letters, but so does positivity. Life is two-sided. Choose the better side of it. Have a safe and productive week, Bahamas. See you again on the other side on The Urologist Speaks. This is Dr. Gregory Pinto and Dr. Wesley Francis, and thank you again, our businessman and entrepreneur and community leader, guest Mr. Peter Roker. Good night.
Thank you.
Don't give up on hope. Don't be ashamed. It's time to take control. Get some help from the urologist.
You will find
he'll help you solve your problems on 96.9.